When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
An Odyssey Sports Station. It's time for the Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
Looking, shoots it for the end zone. Intercepted, A.J. Terrell.
All the highlights and interviews you need from the Dirty Birds.
Did he hit the pylon? He did. Touchdown Atlanta.
The best the Falcons have to offer right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You shall not pass.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening to Atlanta's number one station. It's number one sports show. What's more important to you, accuracy or arm strength? Now, both quarterbacks currently with the Falcons possess, I think, both of these traits. I think Michael Penix probably has a strong arm. He's known for his deep ball, but we didn't get a chance to really exploit that last year because we didn't have really deep threats. But a lot of discussion around Tua Tagovailoa's accuracy. And I would prefer accuracy over arm strength, Mike, because I want to be able to put it where I want. Tight windows, red zone. We talk about this. Scoring touchdowns. I need to put it in those tight windows. I'd rather be able to do that than just to say I have a great arm, a guy with great arm strength. And I'm not taking anything away from Michael Penix, but this is one of the areas that Tua has a leg up on him.
Well, as we said, you know, the joke is, yeah, it's 68% because every throw is 10 yards. Well, there's a little bit more than that. But, you know, that's also part of what made him effective, yards after the catch in Miami. And Stefanski has some similar traits with his offense. You know, we looked at it earlier in the show, man. Again, small sample size. Hopefully it improves. But the knock on Penix was his receivers bailed him out at Washington. You can go back and look at some of the tape. You know, yes, we saw him drop dimes on long 50-yard throws and it looked great. But too many times after another, there was some – and I thought the accuracy this year, throwing behind, balls in the dirt. That's why if you look at it, Tua, even with a down year where he got benched, was eighth in completion percentage. And Mike is at 32. This is last season. So he's got to be better at that. I mean, what's the line from the old tire commercial? Power without control is nothing?
It isn't.
You know, so he's got to be more accurate in this system, period.
There are comments we do want you to hear from Jeff Ulbrich, our defensive coordinator, who spoke. Also from we'll hear from Kyle Pitts coming up. And again, with OTAs going on, you know, you're just trying to get a sense of what is it that the coaching staff is asking guys to do. For example, what are they asking Kyle Pitts to do? You'll hear what he said about that. As far as Jeff Ulbrich, Mike, the question is, can this defense be as productive, even more productive than it was last year? Guys, second in the league in sacks. And everybody's wondering about James Pierce Jr., JPJ. He was asked about the dependence upon James Pierce. If he's not there, Mike, what happens? And if he is, what's this going to look like? Here's what Jeff Ulbrich, our defensive coordinator, said.
We'll see how this group, you know, progresses and comes together and we'll see what we're capable of doing. You know, like when your rush is humming with four, you know, we'd all like to lean on that, you know, and play coverage and obviously, you know, especially towards the end of the year, James got going and he really started to get a feel for it. So, you know, we'll see if we got a guy here that can replace that role, which I'm excited about the guys that we have, whether it be Samson or Braylon. There's countless guys, Aziz, all these guys, just to see what they can do collectively and see what they can do within this system. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, he's saying, look, the system that he runs is not independently, solely independent or dependent, should I say, on James Pierce Jr. Mike, it shouldn't be. One player shouldn't make or break your defense, but it also, let's not fool ourselves, is any of these guys going to get 10.5 sacks?
No. No,
I don't think so either.
Unless Aziz Ojulari. Now, I mean, you could argue that Brandon Dorlus could certainly do that. He could build on the 8.5 sacks. Yes. And he's a guy that gets in the backfield. But the other guys, I mean, it might be a sum of its parts. Will we be the second best team in sacks this year in the NFL? Probably not. Likely if Pierce isn't out there with his 10.5. But you do have a bunch of guys that are talented. I'm more interested in how Jalen Walker takes over for Caden Ellis's job than when Ulbrich was talking about. You know, he's basically going to be asked to do, if not replace Caden Ellis, do a lot of what Caden Ellis was doing in addition to some of the other linebackers we signed.
Well, we know this about Jalen. He can run. He can't cover, right?
Side to side.
So the things that you say, all right, where is he lacking? He's not lacking in any of those areas that Caden Ellis, you know, played last year or for the last couple of years. So I'm curious as well. Here's what he said, Jeff Ulbrich, that is about Divine. I said Divine Diablo.
Gosh, he's so unique. Because I've been around like guys that are really demonstrative leaders that can have that effect,
right,
where it's like their voice just calms you down because they have such, you know, they're so demonstrative and so certain in everything they do, and so even keeled when it comes to whatever the situation it may be. They're that rock, you know, that you can lean on. And he does that in a way I've never seen before. It's so unique in his calmness and his demeanor and his consistency and all that he does. I'm excited for him to get the green dot. I think it's going to be an opportunity to really push him in the direction that he's headed. I think he's got the capacity to be an amazing leader, you know, and a leader in his own unique way now, but an amazing leader. And I think we saw just the tip of the iceberg from a player's perspective, what he can become. So excited. Like, you know, he misses a few days here and there. And this is no shot at anybody else. This is more a testament to him. When he's out there, we feel different. Like when he's out there today, it was like, oh, like I feel calm, you know.
Yeah.
It's just this big avatar out there, you know, protecting dig windows. And he's just so, you know, so athletic, and he's so intelligent, and he's so instinctual, and he's so long and big, and you know, he checks so many boxes for you, you know. And now to see him finally get this opportunity to be the voice of the defense, because I think he's ready for that, and I'm excited for him in that way.
It's a hell of a compliment, man.
He's long, he's big.
It's a hell of a compliment.
Yeah, and we saw, look, guys, when he was out, and you know, we talked about things that were beyond Michael Penix Jr.'s control. When you lost him, we lost five games in a row. And, you know, we had J.D. Bertrand, who just couldn't do, you know, it was an J.D. Bertrand. Bertrand just, for all the things he tried, he just could not match the athleticism in coverage. And we were exploited. Yards after the catch, running backs releasing out of the backfield. We just had no answer for it.
Yeah, the big thing with Divine, and he'll be fine, but he's not a talker. And now he's about to get the green dot, and that's all you got to do. You got to be getting guys in position and telling everybody where they need to be. He's just not. And so Jeff challenged him to do that. I need you to communicate more. And so it'll be interesting, Mike, but from a playmaking standpoint, he's a dog. Let's talk about Kyle Pitts, because the expectations for Pitts is high. And they asked him about Matt Ryan, ironically. Remember, guys, his rookie year, his quarterback was Matt Ryan. Here's what Kyle Pitts said about Ryan still being able to throw the football.
Man, yeah, it's a nostalgic moment. It's great having Matt out here. And, you know, he can still spin it, like he can still play. So it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, do you think this helps Kyle Pitts with
yes.
Matt being there?
Yes.
I do too.
It's so cool. The video yesterday that Mark Grimondi posted, Matt Ryan throwing footballs to receivers and some of the drills. That's really great, man. And Roddy White was out there. Yeah, if you could get some Roddy White, you know, DNA, and throw that into Kyle Pitts, then you've got the 10-year Pro Bowler, and we're talking about Tony Gonzalez type results.
I agree.
Because if you put that work ethic, that physical toughness, that mindset into Pitts, and we've talked to Kyle about it over the years, and, you know, I think at times I don't know he'd cop to it. I got the impression when he didn't get dialed up early, he checked out.
Okay.
And then conversely, when they dialed him up, well, you got to make the play. Sometimes he wouldn't make the play. Then he plays the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He does look like Tony Gonzalez, right?
Yeah. Look,
so that's why we spent so much time talking about him last year.
I have no issues, though, Mike, with playmakers wanting the ball early. Get me involved.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You still got to keep your game, your head in the game. But we know that, I mean, we don't know. We don't know. But I do think that with the way Kyle Pitts could function in this offense, whether it's Tua or Mike, this could be a breakout. I mean, get back to what he did last year. He's a top four tight end in the league. And of course, the first season was a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it was a good season. The problem was we didn't go to the playoffs, and we didn't have enough wow or flash
red
moments.
Zone. He didn't have enough red zone for us. That's my beef for Pitts.
And so I don't know if he got the pub like he needed to. He had a really good season last year, but Mike, the pub comes from you're right. Touchdowns comes from big plays, big moments. Either way, Kyle Pitts was talking about Matt still being a leader.
He still talks the same. He's very rash. That won't ever change.
Right, yeah.
That's Matt. But different. He's just in a different role. He's still the same person. He's still, you know, I feel like he's wrapping me tighter under his wing from a different perspective as a front office guy now. But, yeah, he just has a different role. I mean, he's still leading the team in some sort of way, but just not physically.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. Kyle Pitts was also talking about, Mike, the wrinkles to his game. What wrinkles is he talking about here?
I would say adding more tools to my toolbox. Let me do a couple more things in terms of maybe route running and just schematically. Being able to try and be a, you know, the asset in his offense.
More tools?
Hey, I like that kind of party, man. We're just talking about, you know, all the elite tight ends last year. The only thing separating, you know, Pitts from those guys is more touchdowns. You know, more scores.
Wow moments, man. You look, and when I say that, I'm not talking about every touchdown where you just lose your mind. But he has to be on the highlights, Mike, like Travis Kelce, right? And right. Kelce's fallen off, but I'm using the top guys and name value guys that you know. The reason why Kelce's on the highlights is because he's catching touchdowns. He's catching these big plays and moving the chains. Like, those things matter, but it also matters that you're winning. And right. when you don't go to the playoffs and you're not able to show that, regardless of what we might think of him, you don't have that recognition around the league or even nationally that you should. There are guys we talk about, tight ends that we bring up, and you guys are like, who? Unless you play fantasy football, you don't realize how productive
like
they are.
Like McBride, Trey McBride with Arizona.
Prime example.
Right. So now this year, it's the same. It's funny. I almost feel like it's Groundhog Day. Conversations you and I used to have about Matt and Julio. Red zone, you know, Pitts, red zone. Drake, we know Drake in High Point. We know Drake. And Drake, one of the cool moments from Michael Penix's, you know, short stint now as quarterback was, you know, going to Drake and then going right back to him in that Carolina game. And unfortunately, we blew it because the defense couldn't stop anybody.
That was a big moment. One other thing from Kyle Pitts, Mike. He talked about Kevin Stefanski loves tight ends. We know this. Here's what he said about it.
I would say we're all learning the offense as a whole. It's not being anything more heavily, you know, one-sided than the other. I do see there is a different, you know, a bunch of flexibility throughout the whole offense. So it's cool to see, and you know, tight ends, he does like them a little bit.
Well, let's hope so.
Right, 5 touchdowns last year. McBride had 11. Kyle was second in the NFL in receiving yards, as you said. You know, so these are all things that, I mean, it's all trending in the right way. It's just, to me, like Jake Ferguson with the Cowboys, 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was big.
I think if you look at what Dallas Goedert is in the Eagles offense, that's a unicorn type thing. Remember those, every time the Eagles were on national TV, the Thanksgiving game, just running for miles and miles? Dallas Goedert had 11 touchdowns last season.
Yeah, he was big. Big safety blanket for Jalen Hurts. It's Dukes and Bell, 404-726-0929. You can chime in on all of these things. What's on your mind, man? Hit us up. Text us or you can call us. Phone lines are open. When we come back, though, we will get you caught up on the latest with what's going on around college football. We were talking about this with Mike Griffith earlier today. He was down at the spring meetings. He said, and I want to...
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to quote him on this, but he was talking about Greg Sankey and the ADs being able to vote and change things quicker than the way in the past that they've been able to do it in case, Mike, things don't go their way. He said it's the commissioner's regulation.
It's like when Dean Wormer broke out, you're on double secret probation. Nobody knew this was an option that apparently the commissioner can use.
I had no idea. We'll tell you more about it when we come back.
This is a Westwood One.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.